We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. This is the O-Line Committee.
It's back at full strength. We got Booney. We got Jeremiah, the road warrior, just going pro day to pro day. We're trusting Motel 6 Wi-Fi right now, we think.
Hey, it's a Homewood Inn and Suites, okay?
Hey, it's a home to home, okay? Leave them alone. It's a home.
We move up in the world. I've graduated from the Motel 6s in the world. Also, I don't think I'd trust a Motel 6 in Fargo.
Oh, no.
Anywhere. I mean anywhere. Is better than where I stayed two nights ago, Vermilion, South Dakota. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. Vermilion, South Dakota is not a fun place. It's not where you want to be. Like, I woke up, brushed my teeth, did my thing, and I took a swig of the old tap water to, like, rinse my mouth out, and I almost vomited. I don't know how people drink this. This is poison. It's just poison.
Population 11,800. When do you got to be careful with those, like, 10 to 11,000 or fewer population.
And it's a university.
So it's all kids. Like,
dude, it's bad. Like,
that sounds awesome.
In there,
I don't know what you're talking about. 10,000 people, all students in one city. Sounds like the place
where you
want to
find
next.
Yourself. Not where
there's
you want to find
good,
yourself.
Some good chain restaurants in Vermilion South. There's got to be an Applebee's. Is there a Chili's in Vermilion?
P.F. Chang's?
Applebee's?
Come on, give me something.
Applebee's? Someone had an Applebee's experience recently.
Dude, went last night. It was awesome. The kids were like, Dad, can we go to Applebee's? And I was like, yes, we can. Dude, we went crazy. I ordered every appetizer, and I because I got there before my wife did, and she walked in just as they were like putting 12 plates on the table, and she was like, "What the fuck did you order?" And I was like,
"Why are there Applebee's 48 mozzarella sticks right now?"
Awesome. It was so much fun. But Jay, NDSU, excited?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, dude, it's gonna be great. Yeah, I mean, Fargo's facilities up here, North Dakota State's facilities, rival Power 5 facilities.
Really?
I mean, they've got a beautiful indoor. They built a brand new practice facility. They've got multiple outdoor fields, one grass, one turf. I mean, the run that they went on from the early 2000s up until just recently has been, I mean, as much of a dynasty of Alabama.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they were just winning natties. At one point, I think they had like a 28-game win streak. Like, North Dakota State was the pinnacle of FCS football for a very long time. They've just recently been upseated by South Dakota State. So, yeah, the facilities here are great. Obviously, Coach Entz left. He's now the defense coordinator slash assistant coach at USC. But Coach Polisek's here now. And, I mean, they're just – they have a history of not having a big drop-off when new coaches come in. And he's been here before, and he's an Iowa guy, so he's a Midwest guy. So, I'm excited about it. But, yeah, we got a client, Jalen Sundell, up here. Who's going to be running well. I know you got another guy, Jake Kubis, from your gym. So we got two O-linemen that are running here. And shoot, dude, North Dakota State has put more offensive linemen in the draft over the last 4 or 5 years than most Big Ten schools.
That's true. They've had a lot.
You go all the way back. Dylan Radins was a second-round pick in 2021. Cordell Volson in the fourth round in 22. Cody Mock, it was 20, Radins. Cordell 21,
yeah.
Cody Mock 22, and then this one's Jalen Sundell. So it's a fun lineage up here.
So it's been what, like a week and a half off and on the road, 2 weeks on the road.
Yeah,
give us your Jeremiah map update here.
Well, I had
where
surgery.
In the world is Jeremiah?
So I had surgery. Oh, that's
right. People want to know, surgery. Are you okay? You're moving your arms.
Good. I'm not supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in a sling, but fuck that thing.
Why
don't do that.
You just had surgery. You should be in a sling.
Stop. I feel like you should be.
Stop. Why are you fighting like the doctor's order?
You sound like my wife. Leave me alone. So
okay.
I had surgery after our pod last pod I was on. I went directly to surgery, and then 6 days later, 4 days later, I went cold turkey off the pain pills, just hard stop, right? Because I wanted to be able to drive myself to Northern Iowa for the pro day. And so I went cold turkey. So I drove myself the Monday. So 6 days after surgery, I drove 4.5 hours to Northern Iowa by myself. Went to that pro day, drove back to Omaha that night, stayed in Omaha, got on a plane, went to, flew to Richmond, Virginia, and then drove 2 hours from Richmond to Lynchburg. Was there for Liberty's pro day, which, by the way, if you haven't been to Liberty's campus, gorgeous.
Is there an Applebee's on campus?
One of the coolest. doubtful. Cheesecake. But it is one of the coolest campuses I've ever been around. Like, there's super lot, like, and it's one of those where you get around, you're like, man, there's a lot of history here, like Lynchburg, right? And you start diving deep into it about how, like, it was a huge piece of the Civil War because it's right on the river, and so there was a bunch of, like, the commerce piece to it. And then you go see Liberty's facilities, jaw-dropping. Really? Jaw-dropping, beautiful facilities. And I started talking to people, like, what? What's going on here? They're like, oh, I don't know if you know this. Liberty is the largest online college in the country.
What?
Like, they have like 50,000 students on campus, but there's over like 100,000 enrolled in the school when you add the online portion to it. And so what they've done is they've started using their athletic program as like recruiting for the online school program. Because think about it, if you're a university, what's the best thing ever? Pay for it online. Zero overhead, no liability, kids on campus. And so, I mean, their football team going undefeated last year up until the bowl game was like the best thing that could ever happen to them because they're on national TV, they're at the bowl game. So they've just pumped a bunch of money into their athletic program and have this giant, beautiful indoor. Like, it's awesome. And so, I mean, I get the compare and the contrast on this pro day circuit, right? The UNI Dome. Sorry, Christian Boyd. Shithole. Right. It's not a good place.
Hey, his bench reps went viral on the internet. Hey, so
as they 39? Should. 38? 38 times?
That's wild.
Like, stupid. Woo!
Good for you.
That's
buddy.
A lot, by the way. 38?
Yeah.
He told the spotter to hop on a couple times, too. Who else wants?
Well, I was watching the, like, he got to 15 and was, like, hopping off the bench. I was like, oh, this is going to work out for you.
It's going to be great.
Well, I mean, let's go.
Yeah, so that's, like, running on the old AstroTurf, like the UNI Dome. Like, half, since it's middle of track season, half the dome is a track. The other half is the football field. And they just kind of interchange that. Right? And then you go to Liberty's beautiful, gorgeous, love it. Then I go to Vermilion yesterday.
Oh.
Their football field is held on, and I shit you not, Alex, by Velcro.
What? Stop it.
Velcro. Stop I was standing it. On the field, and I was looking down. I was like, there's a hole in the field. Like on one of the like yard. I was like, there's a – and I reached down into the hole, and I kind of tug on it a little bit. What do I hear? And I look, and I swear to God, it is Velcroed. And all the scouts look around, and like, there's like a support staff, like one of the girl like interns, like for that works in the football department. She was sitting there, and I like, I'm like baffled, right? I'm like looking around, like, is this real life? And she goes, "We're getting new turf next year." And I was like, I would hope so. Like, it was atrocious, dude.
Oh my
I've
God.
I've never seen anything before in my life.
Are you saying it's like the turf at the combine that they just lay down for the week and then they pick right back up?
Dude, because that's think like think wrestling mats, but turf, right? Like you lay the mats down and like,
I don't even know how that's possible.
You push them together at the yard markers and you tap them down so it sticks to the Velcro.
But how do you like? I mean, this is a dumb question, but how do you do that for a full field and not have some little creases or
somewhere?
Bumps
there's
or
creases everywhere.
Safety issues.
Dude, there's creases everywhere. Like, I mean, I'm talking.
So the like, field's not really legit.
Like no. Mm-mm. It's
like
carpet.
It's off a little bit.
You carpet.
It's carpet. You're playing on carpet.
You're playing on carpet. Like, it is horrible.
Hey,
it
football world,
me,
we need to get this
me,
fixed.
Sorry,
we
got to
get that fixed. No, yeah, we do.
Yeah,
no, they're getting it fixed. That's what the Metrodome, this photo
that's a ding.
For the
hey, that's
audience.
A ding. Making kids play on Velcro, that's a ding.
Yeah.
Thank
be
you.
Better. Bad, dude.
Yeah,
be better.
The turf monster be tripping dude, somebody up during their.
I've seen the turf monster take some dudes out. I know you have too, Jay. Like that's got to be brutal there. Sniper in the bushes. Oh God.
Yeah, worst. So got done with Vermilion's Pro Day yesterday, and then trekked through South Dakota through a wonderful spring blizzard storm, and made it all the way up to Fargo in about 6 hours. And a bunch of the scouts, they were like, "You going to Fargo?" I was like, "Yeah." They're like, "Text me if you make it." I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll go guinea pig it, sure. And so I texted my man, I was like, I made it. And they're like, oh, I had to pull off at Brookings, right? I was like, oh, you guys are so soft. That's what four-wheel drive's made for. Hey,
what was it, snow, or was it just rain?
Oh, no, it was blowing snow. And going.
Oh, yeah.
Brookings got like 11 inches of snow yesterday.
Well, I was disappointed because I thought Minneapolis was supposed to get 12, and as always, it turned into be something else, and it was just a rainstorm. So
it was like we got like 7 inches of slush in Minneapolis, and then it turned to rain, and the rain like is clearing out the snow.
It's actually nice. I don't mind it.
By the way, real quick, can I rebuttal the fact that I got dinged last week?
Yeah, no, you
like
cannot.
I had multiple people texting me being like, you got dinged.
If you don't play in the game, you get fined. You know that. If you don't dress, you get fined. You know that. Stop.
Oh, so I got an I got a no stress, no travel fine.
Pretty much. You didn't have to do the show.
That's different.
But
you
dinged
me for sensitive. So therefore,
oh no, because we
bell.
See. Look, there
it is. Therefore, that is a false bell.
It was. I
told you. You said I got no stress, no travel.
Stop. You said I said he was going to get like this. So I should get another ding for calling it. Like, dude, you're about to get with an ultra in a minute.
Self-suck.
Fair. That's fair.
I was right. I knew it would happen like this.
You did call.
I go, Jay's going to freak out when he finds out we find him.
You like, called it in advance, 100%.
We know the rooms well, okay? We know our friends.
It's horseshit.
Huh?
Well, hey, working for a living, getting
at least
fine.
You're in Fargo, buddy. We're proud of you.
We're happy to have him back.
Very
excited. He's back. He's in some sort of a Super 8 or a Traveler's Lodge right now.
The
in Fargo,
Homewood
Minnesota.
Inn and Suites.
It's a home to home. Okay, leave him alone.
Is there a fridge? Is there
color
TV?
I've got
cable
a full
TV?
Little kitchenette.
It's got the whole kitchen, dude.
Like,
is there free
thing?
HBO? I
it's
love
like
when OTA's they advertise free HBO.
Yes, oh, yes dude. Free HBO is the best. You fall asleep watching some shitty movie.
Yes.
Dude, do you guys ever, like, when I was a kid, my dad, he had family in Kankakee, Illinois, and so we'd make the trek, and sometimes we'd stay in a hotel in, like, Mauston, Wisconsin, and road trip it. And I remember distinctly watching a Monday night football game in some, it was called the Pioneer Motel.
Ooh.
And it was like, you know, the doors opened from the outside, and they had, like, pictures of 1,800 Pioneers, and the carpet was all stained because it's the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. And do you guys remember that Monday night football game where Buddy Ryan and Kevin Gilbride got in a fight on the sidelines? They were the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. It was Jets and Oilers. And they got into a, like, you got audience can Google it or YouTube it, whatever. But I have these, like, weird, distinct memories of just road tripping throughout the upper Midwest, watching specific Monday night football games, Sunday football games. Road tripping, my main point is road tripping is great. Jay has like two or three life memories that he has pulled from the last week and a half that will be seared in his brain forever.
Yeah, for sure. You never forget the road, right? I put lots of miles on the truck, and I'm actually planning another road trip with the family this summer. We're going to go through South Dakota, see Rushmore, go down through the Badlands, up into Jackson, go into Yellowstone. So I agree with you, Mackie. I love, my wife and I are big road trippers. I think road tripping is a blast.
Hell yeah, dude, we go RVing. You know it.
You guys have an RV? The Boonies?
We go
That's
RV.
That's a reality show.
It's awesome, dude. Oh, it's God. So fun. I love RV.
Put some GoPros up in that thing and sell it.
It's amazing. So it, fun. I'm in my own world in that cockpit, dude. I don't even listen. I don't hear anything. Can't talk to me. It's amazing.
So we're happy to have Jay back in the mix here on the O-line committee. By the way, before we get to, I've got some mics for you guys. I'll throw some mics out. If you guys have mics, you can throw them at me.
Easy.
We'll get to some dumb football questions. We're going to settle in for a long episode here. But appreciate you guys. We're almost to 19,000 YouTube subscribers. So click that like button, that subscribe button on the O-line committee YouTube channel. The three best things you can do to help us out are grow the YouTube channel, tell a friend or five friends who love football that, hey, there's this new podcast. It's called The O-Line Committee. And then Apple and Spotify, give us a 5-star rating and a positive review. And let us know, too, on the Apple comments. Some people are doing this, and it's hilarious. Who is your favorite all-time obscure offensive lineman?
Yes.
Yeah. We will read and reminisce. There's a couple we'll get to today when we get to dumb football questions. But keep those coming on the Apple and YouTube comment section. So, all right, we're going to go here first.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
My first mic for you guys is J.J. McCarthy. And here's the latest report. Actually, it might be the commander. The commanders are the mic. Jay just dropped his microphone.
Jay's out. I mean, I knew it was going to be like
you're starting early, huh?
Dude, listen.
No, let Mackie finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Let Mackie said finish, it. So I don't have to listen to this multiple
But here's
times.
Why. Here's why.
I already know what he's going to say.
The Commanders are actually the mic. Tom Pelissero is reporting from NFL Network, longtime friend of old Macadac here. He's reporting that the majority of the league sources he's talking with at the league meetings right now are saying the Commanders are likely to draft J.J. McCarthy with the number two overall pick. He's talking to GMs and scouting directors and football ops people saying the chatter, people talking about the Commanders, is that J.J. McCarthy is their guy with the number two overall pick.
Listen, everything that's happening right now is nothing more than posturing and positioning and smoke and mirrors to think I can make everyone else think what I want them to think. Every owner, every GM is trying. And if you know who probably started those rumors? The Commanders.
Yeah.
Right? Because if they don't want McCarthy, they want Drake May, or they want someone else, they don't want to just come out right out and say it, because then everyone knows, right? You want some mysteria there because you want some other teams to possibly come in and trade or see what else is out there. I want to know what other teams are thinking, right? Like, I love Pelissero. I think Ian Rappaport and all those dudes do a great job. But at this time of year, they are nothing more than pawns in a much larger game that is the NFL draft. Everyone's using them to put what they want out and what information they want to be told, not what they don't want to be told, right? Nothing that's truly kept close to the vest is going to find its way to Pelissero or Rappaport or those guys' desks, right? Those things stay right here. But there's these little pieces of information you leak to create a narrative in which you want it to be understood. I think that's what's happening right now.
So would the logic there be that the Commanders want teams like the Giants or the Vikings, or if there's teams further down that really like McCarthy, that, hey, if you want him, you better come get him at number two and give us a Godfather package.
Correct.
And then the Commanders can maybe figure out a way to still be third or fourth or fifth and get a Drake May or somebody.
Right. What's all everyone's read? The Vikings. Private workout with J.J. McCarthy, right? Like, they're the guy. Everyone knows it. Like, if I'm the Commanders, I'm like, well, let's see how much they actually really like him.
Right.
If we start to steal their golden goose and they have their minds made up that he's the guy, let's put their money where their mouth is and see if they're ready to come up and get him or not. They may not even like him. They may think he's a total piece of trash and be like, no, he's not our guy. We hate him, right? We're all in on Drake May, right? But if you tell the world what the world thinks they want to hear, now you're starting to make people nervous.
But the other possibility here, though, is because our guy Jim Harbaugh did his, for a quick aside, the annual coaches breakfast and the annual coaches photo is the greatest thing in the NFL.
The best.
They're all in their little button-up shirts in the photo. Dude,
Barstool does some crazy things, but Big Cat and PMT, when they break down the coaches photo, is one of my favorite segments every single year.
The Harbaugh is sitting front and center in the front row.
Of course
they are.
Right next to Andy Reid, right? Yep. Like, Andy Reid's got the power shorts move. Like, oh, I love it. I love it. The Hawaiian shirt.
Holding two cheeseburgers.
You know? Oh, so great.
But Jim Harbaugh, then he sits down for his breakfast. Because what happens is every year, like 2 weeks after free agency, all the coaches, it's the owners, the league meetings, they talk about, and we'll get to the rule changes on this podcast. But they have 32 different tables, and all of the head coaches are just having breakfast with media. Yep. So you can just go and, like, it's buffet style. You get your little scrambled eggs, your little waffle maker, and your side of fruit. You can just go sit down next to Sean Payton and ask him questions about Russell Wilson. And Jim Harbaugh, once again, he was asked, hey, that J.J. McCarthy pro day. And he goes, best I've ever seen. Best pro day, best throwing, best. He's been on the propaganda train for like a month and a half. But he said prophetically, like 2 months ago, by the time the offseason process is over, J.J. McCarthy is going to be a lot closer to the first quarterback off the board than where he's being mocked in the second round.
Oh, he was
and right now, right. Like, I mean, he's a top five pick. And as of this report, there's some steam for number two. I know it makes Jeremiah's head pop off.
No, but
it's
Jay's
fascinating
got a great point.
What's happening right now.
The minute the commander said J.J. McCarthy, you have to wonder how many teams piqued their interest. Like, uh-oh, wait, what? Wait a minute. What do they mean that they? But the truth is, those guys also know that they just throw shit out there just to see each other squirm, and they just do that to see each other. They mess with each other. They're like best friends, right? It'd be like messing with your best friend. Like, You know somebody likes some girl and you're like, hey, I really like her. I'm going to make a move. Your friend's quickly like, whoa, thought we were boys. All right, hold up. Hold up. How much of this snack pack is it going to take to get her back, right? Like all of a sudden guys are starting to divvy up what's going on at lunch. That's how this goes. People laugh. Jay, you're laughing, but you're thinking because that's exactly what this is.
Yeah,
it's so true. You know how many lies are put out there? So many people ask me this, and I'm going to stand firm on this. Who's drafting who? Nobody knows. The only thing we know is the first pick will be Caleb Williams. That is all we know. After that, nobody knows what's going to happen. And we've seen it every year. Teams come out and say ridiculous things just to see what everybody else does. Hey, let's drop this. Tell me who calls by tomorrow at lunch. All of a sudden, tomorrow at lunch, four teams have called. Okay, these four are really interested in them. What did they offer us? They offer us anything good? Anything crazy? Nah, all right, never mind. No. We're going to keep the two pick. And then all of a sudden, it's Drake May. And they're, oh, you know, we were just going back and forth. We could finally figure it out. It's the same story every year. Do I think he's going to be a top five pick? Yeah, probably. Do I think he goes two? I don't know. His name isn't maybe. Caleb Williams. No.
I mean,
who, dude, you don't know if the Broncos are going to trade up to two. So many people are looking for quarterbacks right now. So many people are quick to be like, dude, we'll do whatever we got to do to get one right now. It's just chaos, and it's chaos for the next month, and it's crazy, and everyone keeps asking me what's going to happen, what's this team going to do, what's that, dude, I don't even know, because at first, my opinion would be go to three, right? New England is probably going to be the only team that would slide off a QB, just because ownership, new coach, he'd be like, listen, I don't like anybody in this year's draft, let's wait till next year.
That'd be the only, or we need players,
I don't see
first round pick,
right? I don't see Washington being that team that's like, we're going to mess around with this quarterback pick. I think that they know who they want. I don't think it's J.J. Right. McCarthy, but I think they know who they want. And I think they're just saying that to see, let's see what we can get. Let's see,
I mean, they essentially have the number one overall pick after Caleb Williams. Right. Like they have, again, full pick of the litter. So they can just take Caleb off the board, and they can pinpoint best available in the entire class. If they think that's J.J. McCarthy, good on them. But I just don't think that at this point in the process they would come out and say that.
No, that'd be too telling.
Unless they're just trying to posture and position in order to gain some ground and gain some leverage and see what the other, like Boone said, who squirms, right? Who all of a sudden read the tweet and was like, at the owner meeting, right? Like,
is that our guy?
Wait, I thought he wasn't going to fall. Like, oh.
No.
Dabble over there. So
it feels like a Vikings trap, right? Where there's like the Vikings love. And I don't know if you guys saw yesterday, Dan Graziano from ESPN, another one of these NFL insiders, and he's an insider and a reporter, but he also understands the art of speculation season and entertainment. And so he put out, and it's no coincidence the timing here. So he puts out on ESPN.com, if you're the Vikings, here are different trades that you could make with every team from 3 down to 10 if you're looking to move up. And the Commanders might have read that and said, wait a second. If the Patriots are going to get a Godfather Hall at number 3, why can't we float? Well, why isn't Kwesi Adofo-Mensah called us? Let's float a little something out here. We're still a month away, so there's all these little test balloons being floated out.
That's exactly what it is.
But my biggest issue with, and this is where, all right, this is where I'm going to identify Jay as my next mic here. Jeremiah, you are my next mic.
Uh-oh.
The certainty with which, and I'm kind of neutral on J.J. McCarthy because I don't know. I don't work in an NFL front office. I watch games on TV. I watch YouTube videos and film breakdowns and stuff. But, like, I don't get to spend 9 hours putting him through a workout, seeing if he's a weirdo. You know, I can tell you, like, we might have talked about this before. Like, Christian Ponder was a bust 10 years ago. And if you would have spent more than like 15 or 20 minutes around Christian Ponder, a lot of his teammates at the time, after like a year or two, they said, oh, yeah, he's major beta, not to like trash the guy, major beta personality, just kind of a follower, not like a lead the room type of personality. But if you're just watching him on TV and looking at his stats and look at his combine scores, right? So I preface this by saying, I'm not in the room. I need to sit down with someone for 8 hours to know, like, okay, are you smart? Can you hang in a room? So the certainty with which people speak positively and negatively about some of these quarterback prospects, dude, like the 49ers whiffed on Trey Lance, one of the smartest front offices in the league. So it's such an inexact science. And so you have been so staunch saying J.J. McCarthy is not the guy. He's more of a Blake Bortles than a Tom Brady. People need to calm down. And I'm saying, like, I get a little wary when people, whether it's you or whoever, are 100% confident in a quarterback draft opinion because it's so wide open and volatile.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the other guys in the class, and that's for me is when you're looking and you're saying, I'm elevating him above a Jaden Daniels or I'm elevating him above a Drake May, I just don't see it. Right. And I mean, I'll be the first one to sit here and eat my hat if I'm wrong. Like, I have no problem doing that. I will. I just haven't seen it. And people are sending me YouTube videos of his highlights. And I'm like, dude, they're play action, 7-step drops, throw it as far as you can. Right. Or there's some of these, like, I think a lot of it too, and this may not be a fair assessment to him, and is, when I watch a quarterback, I watched him do it one time this year against Alabama, having to like come back and lead this big comeback at the end of the games. And I think when you think about some of the quarterbacks that have been like, hey, these are the dudes and they come from great programs and they've played won every game during the year. The NFL is decided by one score, like 90% of the time. And so when these guys come, like a Justin Fields, comes from Ohio State where you just beat the brakes off of everyone all year long. It's hard for me to sit there and be like, yeah, but when the pressure's on in a 2-minute situation at the end of the half, or you got to have it, or there's different situations throughout the game, I just haven't got a chance to watch him perform at a super high level in critical situations throughout the game. Mm-hmm. Right? And same can be said, the vice versa, we got to see Caleb Williams do that in not great fashion. Right, not great fashion was Caleb Williams. Like, there was a lot of times at the critical situation of the game, he folded like a house of cards.
Dude, he makes me nervous.
He makes me very nervous.
The Bears have to take him, but like,
right? But the thing with him is the physical talent that he brings is another level of eliteness. Right, like watching his pro day, he can throw the ball so far. Right. And I was at a bar here last night watching the game. We had dinner with a client, and the old 2015 divisional round between the Cardinals and the Packers was on. Wow. And like, you're watching Aaron Rodgers just flick of the wrist and thing goes. And you see some of that in Caleb Williams' game, right? That type of like generational physical talent. Right. And so that's where, like, okay, so that's why you look at Caleb Williams. But then you look at McCarthy, and yes, he's got some very good arm talent. He's got some good physical tools to him. But I think the hard part for me is I don't have a good evaluator of the critical situations, put the team on my back type moments that I can just point to and say, that's the guy.
You know what's funny about that? Like, on the flip side, Michael Penix, everything you just laid out, you're looking for close games, high leverage, right? Like, he played exclusively close games, and they won all of them his last year at Washington. Another thing, and I'm just throwing it out. I like Michael Penix. I don't think he's going to be a top five pick, but like, if I'm drafting later in the first round or early in the second round, I'm probably taking Michael Penix.
100%.
You guys tell me as offensive linemen. I feel like this is my favorite statistic of of the college quarterbacks.
Oh God.
Okay. What happens when quarterbacks take sacks or avoid sacks? We always credit or blame the offensive line beyond anything else. Like Peyton Manning in his prime with the Colts back in the day, he had like the least mobile quarterback in the history of the NFL. Yeah. Peyton Manning, right? Just a statue. And he had seasons where he was taking like 11 sacks in 16 games. And of course, you know, Jeff Saturday, he had some offensive linemen, but it's because he knows how to get rid of the ball, right? So Michael Penix, in 6 years as a starting quarterback, and he's made probably like 4 full years worth of starts. He's had some injuries. He's taken sacks in 2% of his dropbacks. 30 sacks taken only in 6 years. And just for reference, a good NFL sack rate is like 3 times that. Like the best quarterbacks at avoiding sacks. And the 2 best sack avoiding quarterbacks in the NFL are Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
Makes sense.
And the rest of the list is like Jordan Love, Kirk Cousins actually great at avoiding sacks late in his career here. So, I mean, there's guys like Penix that people are just writing off completely. Oh, he had a couple knee injuries, and so he's worthless in this discussion. But my point is, there's a lot of drafts where Lamar Jackson goes 32nd, and there's 2 busts in front of him. Right. The order in which these guys are taken is not going to be the order in which they are achieving in the NFL.
No, it's what do they do with him when they get to the NFL. And you know, a good point of that is Trevor Lawrence. He was in Clemson, lost like, what, one game? Gets to the NFL, it's a whole new world. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, man, even if you are the best in college, you can't do shit up here. You're not going to do anything. Those windows close faster than you think. These defenses are smarter than you think. Defensive coordinators are meant to put pressure on single you. That is it. Put pressure on one guy. That's why this is such a serious decision. But I'll tell you what, watching film last night of LSU, I had to watch their left tackle. Kid's a stud. Stud. That quarterback is a stud. Wow. I mean, I'm watching. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It took me back to kind of like Kaepernick. I was like, dude, running around, getting out. I was like, what?
And if there's anyone that's getting written off in this, it's a little bit of him.
That's why I'm saying for J.J. McCarthy to jump up over a guy like that, that's why I think this is all bullshit. Because I watched that film last night of that quarterback, and there was times people had him dead to rights, and he was gone. And I was like, huh? And then he's fitting it through windows. I was like, dude.
He will need to learn how to not take big hits, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, there was one against Alabama, and the defensive end caught him running down the middle of the field. Boom! And I was like, oh, God, don't do that, kid. Don't do that. But, hey, I love it. You got to see a kid go out there and compete. That's one of the things that Jay and I are talking about. We see the transformation of where the quarterback room is going, and we see kids like this coming out, and we're like, wow, that is scary dangerous to think about, right? I can throw the ball as far as I want. I can fit it in a great window, but at the same time, if I don't like any of those options, I'm just going to take off running. And then everybody that's just dropped in this Tampa 2, cover 3, whatever it is, you have no idea what's going on. You're down the field with your receivers, and I'm just breaking around linebackers. Like, this is – it's fun. And at the same time, no team in the NFL would ever tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Technically, but Chicago's not even came out and said they're going
to
take
it. To your point about Jaden Daniels, like you guys both talked about J.J. McCarthy for 10, 15 minutes here, and it feels like disproportionately the conversation around the league and media is about Caleb Williams, obviously, but J.J. McCarthy is getting the most headlines, take Caleb Williams out, of any of these quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that? I think you guys are probably right. It's because a lot of these teams at the top are internally they're saying, well, if Jaden Daniels is there, we're taking him. So let's not let that let's throw other names out. It's like you're in a fantasy auction. You play fantasy football. You're throwing names out that you don't want. So other teams, right? By the way,
we wanted a receiver. Should have told him we wanted Marvin Harris. God damn it.
Another thing to look at too is and tell me if I'm wrong on this. If you struggle against pressure in college, what's it going to be like? Hypothetical pressure, which is a big thing too. I mean, literally, like if college defenses fluster you and you can't operate, that's a red flag to me. Because how are you going to operate in the NFL? The best quarterbacks in college football last year, when pressured, according to PFF, in order, number one was Bo Nix, shorter passes, shorter depth of target. Number two was Jaden Daniels.
Quick pass game.
Yeah.
And number three was J.J. McCarthy. And when blitzed, the number one quarterback in college football when blitzed was Jaden Daniels. 20 touchdowns, no picks, 11 yards per attempt. That's just as a thrower when blitzed, by the way. Forget about when he ran for 1,000 yards, likely being flushed from the pocket, right?
Yeah, he won the freaking Heisman.
Let's not forget. The dude's an animal. Like, I love Jaden Daniels. And here's the thing. None of those quarterbacks we just mentioned are from a program where I think is going to assimilate quickly into the NFL and have no problem. None of them, right? The college game is nowhere near the complexity of the NFL game. It has fallen so far in the simplicity category that none of the guys we're talking about right now do I think are ready to come in and read defenses and set protections and be ready to go, right? And that was even the issue with last year. I mean, C.J. Stroud was a bit of an anomaly to be able to come in and do what he did. Yeah. Right. I mean, you don't see that as often. And last year you had similar discussions, right? It was Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson. And everyone thought Bryce was going to be the guy, and then Richardson got hurt. Like, it always happens like this. But it's because of the premier position that it is of being a quarterback, and everyone is now trying to get the formulation of get a quarterback on a rookie deal, go win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Right. That's what everyone's doing, which is why you're going to probably see a quarterback go 1, 2, 3.
Maybe four if someone is trying to sneak up there.
Dude, it could be the first five. It could be people trading in and people trading out to get out. I mean, think about it. If If somebody were to call the Cardinals,
quarterbacks, yeah, man.
If somebody called the Cardinals, like say the Vikings call them, Cardinals would be like, all right, cool. You want to switch over there? We'll find a receiver back in the back end. At the same time, the Broncos are going to be calling up to be like, hey, we need to jump in here at some point. Like, it's going to be really, this is probably one of the most exciting drafts there's been in a while, just because of everything that's been leaked.
But then it also could be just straight up. Boom, boom,
right.
Boom, boom, boom.
It's right. Like, it's anticlimactic. Like, it just happens the way it happens.
Where will the first defensive player go? That's another fun question.
To Atlanta.
Take an edge rusher.
Yeah, I think edge rusher to
Atlanta. They could trade back though too. If there's still teams piling on top of each other to get quarterbacks and receivers.
If Dallas Turner's still there at eight, he's getting taken.
He's gone.
Yeah. I think he's a good fit for Atlanta. Because they're at eight, right?
Yeah. Yes. The first five could be quarterbacks easily, but after that it could just for trade ups. Like you could see two teams trying to jump trade up.
Yeah. If two teams trade up and five, if not, it's going to be quarterback, top three, receiver, and then tackles. I think tackles may break in there, and then it'll be
the first seven.
It could be three quarterbacks and three receivers, and then it could go three O linemen. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That could be fun. By the way, it's a very offensive
heavy draft in the front.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a mock drafter out there, okay, if you're a Mel Kiper Jr., you're a Daniel Jeremiah, any of these mockers out there, okay, if you're not doing trades in your mock is worthless to me right
Thank
now.
You. Thank you. I love when you just go through a mock and you see a random trade and you're like, that's what I'm talking about. Somebody did their due diligence enough to go, in my mock, this team trades up. They sell the farm for this guy. Yeah. I love when people do that. When they don't, it's
coward
boring.
Mockers.
I know. Dude, for sure. It's going to be exciting. That's for sure.
Dude, Mel Kiper after that. I'm going to call Mel Kiper to the carpet right now. A couple
do
weeks
it,
ago.
Do it. Do
so
it.
Free, so first
Kangaroo
week of free
Court
agency.
Is in session.
Mel Kiper, no trades in your mock. That's a ding for you right there. Woo! It's fine. Yeah. So the first week of free agency gets done, right? Just a wild week of player movement. But now we know exactly what holes teams need to fill in the draft and who might be moving up. There's rumors about this team, that team. And he comes out and he does a 2.0, 3.0, and there's no trades. You got J.J. McCarthy falling to like 11 or 12 in your mock? Come on, guy. You're plugged in enough. You're Mel Kiper, man. You invented the NFL draft.
Seriously.
He's a weatherman, like, dude. He gets
dude,
paid
he's starting
to
act
wrong.
Like Daniel Jeremiah. Knock it off. It's nonsense. Is it my turn?
Yes, fire away. Yeah.
Okay, listen. I have the most obscure mic ever.
Oh, boy.
Because I read this the other day.
You read?
I read. What? Yeah, I know. It's hard.
You can read?
Who read it to you?
My wife.
Was it a book
pictures?
There was. The Niners lost a draft pick due to an accounting glitch.
Oh, I know.
Did you see that? And I never felt so bad for someone's job because you know the minute they found out who that was, they were like, you're gone. Like,
well, it's one guy. It's the cap guy. It's
I know,
Diamonds.
Dude, how do you screw that up? I mean, I've never really heard of a team messing up something like this, and this just totally got brushed under. Like, yeah, but they lost a draft pick. And I was like, guaranteed someone's super pissed right now, and this is not going to go over well. And
it was for a $75,000 amount. So some player received like $75,000 more than he should have made. But we're talking $200 million caps here. Right?
My guess is that it was a bonus. Either a likely to be earned or a not likely, probably a not likely to be earned bonus. So there's two ways bonuses get put into contracts. So, sorry, sidebar. There's the way that bonuses, right? You see people all the time talk about like playing incentive bonuses or Pro Bowl bonuses or whatever. Like, so as an agent, you work in bonuses into player contracts. And those fall under two categories, likely to be earned, not likely to be earned. If it's a likely to be earned bonus, it immediately counts towards the salary cap for that year, right? So if it's like a starter that needs to play 50% of the snaps, right? That gets he thought, okay, he's going to earn that, so let's just count that towards the cap.
Who determines whether it's likely? The league?
You put that in the contract of like this is a likely to be earned or not likely to be earned.
Okay.
And so, but then there's like not likely to be earned, right? Which would be a guy that signs a one-year, $2 million deal, and if he plays, he's a rotational special teams linebacker, and you throw a, if he plays 80% of the snaps, then he makes an extra $75,000. right? Something like that. That's not likely.
For, he plays for the Jets, and the bonus is that if the Jets make the playoffs, that would be unlikely to be earned.
Right. And what happens is if that then happens, then that counts towards next year's cap. Right. Like that's how that works. And so, I mean, it could easily be an accounting error like that where it was something from the year before that didn't get like counted into that. It's just a little bonus that got like that's probably in my mind what happened.
It's like I don't think someone overpaid a player by 75,000 is how they framed it. And they lost a
75K cost you a draft pick. Dude, that's insane.
That in the NFL, that's a wild small amount.
They're lucky it didn't push them over the cap.
That's what I'm wondering.
That. Like, because it wasn't a big enough number that, like, pushed them completely over the cap. Because if you would have got pushed over the cap, we're talking big, big problems.
That's never happened. A team been over the cap. That's why I was like, wait a minute. Did somebody just go over the cap and they totally brushed this under the rug and then they're just going to take one draft pick away from them? I was like, that's kind of a big deal.
Well, they self-reported, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, right. I think, I mean,
it's probably like going to court. You told on yourself. We're going to take away a draft pick.
Imagine being the cap guy, and you're like doing the numbers, and you're sitting there, and you're like, I've ran this 100 times. You're like, I can't. You just go knock on John Mr. Lynch. Hey. Mr. Lynch, do you have a second? Are you busy?
I'm the intern.
Yeah, you send the intern. Hey, here, go give this PowerPoint to John Lynch. And it just says, I effed up. I'm sorry. Minus 75 in red. Right.
And then, dude, John Lynch at whatever it was, press conference or whatever, he goes, we'll be good, but you hate to see a fifth round pick next year be forfeited. The fifth round's been good to us. And then the article I'm reading lists off like they landed George Kittle in the fifth round, Dre Greenlaw, Colton McKivitt, a couple other players. Like they
got some ballers, dude.
Really good players in the fifth round.
I mean, dude, to get a draft pick taken away is a huge deal. That's like your dad taking your toy away and being like, you can never have it back. You're like, wait, what? I messed up really bad.
And I'm giving it to your arch rival.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it to the Rams.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
You like this Tonka truck? Goes to LA now.
I feel like being an NFL cap guy would be, it sounds like
amazing.
Wow, what a fun job, man. You get to like work at it. It sounds like the most stressful. No one, any move that the franchise makes gets attributed to the GM and the coach, even if you were in the room playing a big role, right? It's like being a long snapper, right? You're in the NFL and it's great, but the only time people talk about you is if you have like a screwed up cap situation.
Dude, they're.
Or you overpay a player by 75,000.
They are the grease in the machine.
They are
the cap guys.
They're
like
very
those
important.
Dudes are. They are the smartest people in the organization, easily. Hands down, full stop. Like those dudes, when you talk to them and the way their brain works and the way they forecast, that's the thing that mind blowing. Like they forecast 4 years out, right? They're constantly living in like the cap guys right now are thinking about 2028, 2027. Like, what's our window? How do we build this team for a Super Bowl run in 2 years or 3 years? Or are we in our window now so we have to load it and then we know that in 2 years we're blowing this whole thing up, right? All out the bills, right? Like, these dudes are so smart, and the way they move pieces around to fit under right at that budget window is incredible. So smart. I have so much respect for the cap guys in the NFL.
When I used to go into Parag Marathe's office, dude, it would have, like, the year, next year, the following year, the year after that, and then everybody that was on the team. Like, it was, you would walk in.
Include me?
It was like a beautiful mind. I'm not even kidding you. Dude, it was like numbers everywhere. You were like, there was a pictograph. You were like, dude, what is going on? He's like, I'm just getting ready. You're like, dude, I can't imagine how much fun you have in here just messing with numbers and like what ifs and if this. And it's a lot, though, because if you don't get it right, as you see, they punish you quickly. Like, they're like, all right, you screwed up. Now we're going to take
this. Do you guys like the way? So the NFL has a hard cap where you can't go over it. And there's a floor, too. So there's a range.
But you have to spend over 90%.
It's a different thing. Over 4 years, it's a lot.
Yeah, right. But the NBA lets teams, you can, so the cap is, it's called a soft cap where you can re-sign your own players to go over. But then there's like different levels of luxury tax and roster building penalties. So you can, like, there's a first apron, a second apron where if you're the Warriors and you have a dynasty going, you can spend $100 million over the cap. You're going to get taxed X amount on every dollar, and you're unable to do this, that, and the other when it comes to roster building. Do you like the hard cap the NFL has?
Yes.
Has to have it.
It's easy and simple. We all know it, too. Like, we can all look at it and be like, yeah, you're good. Or
it makes it more competitive for the league, too.
There are rules. You can spend over the cap, but over a four-year span, you have to spend, like, I think it's 95% of the cap. So you have to spend 95% because at times when I was in the NFL early, teams were only spending tiny amounts of the cap. Like, there were teams that wouldn't save, like, 30% of the cap and continue rolling it over, and it was like, what the hell's going on? These guys aren't spending any money. And then all of a sudden the rules were like, all right, now you got to spend more of your money. You can go over if you go under, but over a four-year span, it has to equal 95% of them. And so then it was like, oh, that makes total sense now. Like, you have to spend
owners,
money.
The owners were having players for cheap and then shoving money in their pockets.
Which was kind of messed up.
Think about
billions.
The way the NFL is structured, owners can't lose money. If you look at like the Forbes reports, the least profitable teams, quote unquote, are still bringing in like $100 million in net operating expenses. But it allows teams from Green Bay, Wisconsin and Buffalo, New York to compete financially and roster building with teams from New York and LA and Chicago and Dallas and these big markets. So,
yeah,
it's fair.
No, the hard cap will never change.
No.
Okay. Jay, throw a mic out. I've got another thing for you guys, too, before we get to dumb football questions. So let's settle in here. This will be a long podcast.
Ooh, I like the way this is going.
Let's see here. You guys took both my mics, actually. So I'm going to let you guys go ahead. Those were my mic was honestly going to be the Niners because I was going to talk about it because that's kind of my world. And
that's your world.
So I saw it and I was like,
this is unprecedented.
Yeah, go for it.
So my mic is... It's the first batch of NFL over-under win totals. We now have different websites and publications.
Oh, yeah, you sent that to me.
Coming out with, you know, the Chiefs and the Niners and the Ravens, the site that I'm looking at right now, are all the highest win total projected teams at 11.5 each. I'm going to go through this entire list. I'm just going to read off teams and their projected win total. When I get to a team that you feel like you have a really strong opinion that, nope, that number's too high or that number's too low, you stop me, okay?
Okay.
So
okay.
Chiefs, 11.5. 49ers, 11.5. Ravens, 11.5. Lions, 10.5. Bengals, 10.5. Bills, 10.5.
I'm going to stop you at the Bengals. I think the Bengals are over. Hard over.
You think that's too low? 10.5, too low?
Yeah. I'm putting them more closer to 11.5. I am. I think you know they signed Trent Brown to be their right tackle for a year. I think they draft a young tackle, Joe Burrow, if he can stay healthy. You have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins for one more year, right? Joe Mixon moved on, so they're going to be another kind of back by committee. I think that number's too low. I think the Bengals. I think people saw. I mean, still 10's a high number for them. But I still think the Bengals are not to be trifled with.
Trifled with? That's a great...
Not to be trifled with.
Like that's an underutilized phrase right there.
Mm-hmm.
Not to trifle.
Not to be trifled with. So, yeah, I'm going to stop you. That's my first one I was reading through that where I was like, nah, that's not how that works.
Eagles, 10.5. Honestly, that feels a little high.
A little high.
Feels a little high.
But it's still an uber-talented...
They have a
roster.
They have a good touch.
Like it's
offense,
still an
dude.
Uber talented yeah. roster.
It's kind of weird that. Vibes. Falcons 10.5. That's a little
I'm gonna say yes because we've talked about this. That division's crap. Yeah. I'm cool with that.
It's them in Tampa. You get to play Carolina twice a year. It's two wins.
And the Saints.
The Saints are always feisty.
They used to be. They're not feisty anymore.
I think there's a lot
There's times where they would jump you at the bottom of the pile. I know. Okay, like they would kick the shit out of you. I don't see that anymore from them. I'm very disappointed.
I will say this. I had a chance a couple weeks ago. I was at the Barrett Sports Media Summit in New York, and there was a couple guys from Atlanta Media there. And one of them, Mark Reno, he came up and he was like, dude, Kirk Cousins, man. Like he's like excited for the Falcons. And I said, yeah, it's fine. It's great. He goes, what do you mean? Like, you don't love it for the Falcons? I said, well, you're a franchise looking to go from 7 wins to like 9 or 10 wins. So this is great for you. He's like, but I'm like, that's what he is. Kirk is 36 and he is a good, solid floor raising quarterback. But there's a lot of like Falcons are Super Bowl contenders discussion out there that I feel in the 10.5 number too. So they're sitting on the, you're telling me the Falcons are on the same level as the Bills, Bengals, Lions, a notch below the Niners? I just let's calm down a little bit on the Kirk Savior syndrome here in Atlanta. Okay. He's going to help operate your offense. I don't know that he's winning you a Super Bowl here in 2024.
It's a lot of pressure.
Deep breath.
It is fun to watch the conversations that have been happening in Minneapolis for 2 years about overpaying quarterbacks just pick up and migrate down south and start all over again.
Here we go. Here we go, Atlanta.
If you look at some Atlanta, what you do, Mac, for Score North and stuff down in Atlanta, it's the same conversations. It's did we do the right thing? What are we doing? Sure. Yeah. Like the Kirk Crusaders have showed up down south. Like, hello, everybody, welcome. I will defend this man until I die. Right? Like they all followed him. All the Kirk Crusaders followed him.
It's funny though to see Atlanta in that position. Like, did we make the right decision? Like, at first they were like, let's do it. And the minute you sign that $200 million contract, they're like, wait a minute. What did we do? Dude, I've been seeing it too. It's the same thing. It's like you said, it migrated south. And the Kirk Crusaders have got like their shorts on now. And they're like, yeah, it's warmer down here. It's better down here anyways. Right?
Khaki shorts, beige khaki shorts. Yeah.
But this is what I love about the NFL. Because with a ton of money comes a ton of responsibility. Like before when he was here, people were kind of looking at him always like, he's the guy. But now it's like, okay, you have almost reset the cap. You are getting paid top dollar. Now let's see what you do. It's going to be interesting. But keep going with the teams because there was a team on there.
So to my guy, Mark Zeno, hey, 7 wins to 10 wins, you guys are golden. Anything beyond that, calm down a little bit.
Okay? Win the wild card and we'll talk, okay? Here we go.
Packers, 10.
I'm cool with that.
Dolphins, 10. Cowboys, 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Texans
9.5. Jets 9.5 feels a little
low. There it is. Low. That's
Texans 9.5 low. Yeah,
that's low. Dude, I think that what Houston's doing, and then they brought down Daniil, right? And I know that some people don't like the signing, but the Joe Mixon signing, I like that. I like that a lot. I think he's a tough running back. And I think that when the situation calls for it, you're like, hey, go break someone's face open. Like, this is, to me, them kind of like, hey, here's another guy in the backfield that we can lean on. I agree. I know what you're going to say.
That being said, they're going to play a much harder schedule next year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You win the division. You host a playoff game. Guess what? Guess who's coming? You got Mahomes coming down the pipe now. You've got Josh Allen coming down the pipe now. Like, you've got the top dogs that you will play week in and week out now from the AFC. Like, that's when you really test your mettle as a quarterback in this league, of when you start going toe-to-toe with the best of the best. We're going to get to see that from C.J. Stroud this year. And I think that's probably why that number is down a little bit compared to maybe what people may think it is because we haven't got to see him week in and week out go against those top level dudes. And there's a year film out there now.
Right.
Like, that's a piece that people don't really think about, is when you're a young quarterback and you come take the league by storm like CJ Stroud did, everyone's trying to catch up to CJ Stroud. What's he doing? How's he doing this? Like, week in and week out, like, just watching the film from the week before. You give these defensive coordinators a year to study what did they do, how did they do it, and have a plan to stop him, that's when you get to see, did C.J. Stroud take the next jump in his game personally of elevating himself that he can elevate the team, or did we figure him out and now he's going to have to go back to the drawing board a little bit? I'm curious to see what defenses do against the Texans next year to limit some of that big explosive playness that they had all year. Very similar to like what they did to Mahomes, where they're like, you're not throwing it behind us anymore, right? Like, shell coverage, let's see if we can make you operate inside the pocket. And he was like, okay, watch me, right? And now they're going to try and do the same thing to Stroud as they did to Mahomes a few years back.
Yeah, it's sometimes there's like a second-year dip with quarterbacks that have a great rookie season for that reason, and that might – it could be schedule, it could be scouting. The Jets 9.5 is – to me, it's
that might
so
be
predicated
high, buddy.
On
that might be
old
high,
guys
buddy.
Staying healthy. Yeah, Tyron Smith, Aaron Rodgers.
Dude, the last like 4 years, their left tackle has been like average age of 35. Mm-hmm. Right? You had Dwayne Brown in there for a while, couldn't stay healthy. Now you bring in Tyron Smith, who's arguably one of the greatest to do it, but I don't think he's finished a season in the last 4 years.
That's
like
so
at least like played a full year. Right? Like, yeah, you've got that's such a predicated number. That number is very volatile based off injuries.
It is for sure.
And number how one well being does Aaron. I mean Aaron Rodgers. Right. We saw what happens when he doesn't work.
I'm going to throw out a huge group of 7 different teams at 8.5. Let me throw all of them out, and you pick a couple if you feel like. Bears, Browns, Rams, Chargers, Colts, Jaguars, Buccaneers, all at 8.5.
Chicago, to me, stands out. I don't know. If you're putting them in, I think they're too high. I think if you're putting Tampa and you're putting the Browns and you're putting the Jags and
the Jaguars, people, this is like with Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, I mean, that dude had a high ankle sprain with 2 months left in the season and the season tanked. He's going to be healthy.
Right. Yeah.
That's a 9-10 win team.
That was my neck tattoo league. I mean, that was my squad, dude.
They were on track, dude. They were like
At one point last year, we were talking about them being Super Bowl contenders.
They were like 6-2 or something. Yeah, they were on track for sure.
Yeah, and to put the Bears in that category right away, I think that's a lot. That's a lot on Caleb Williams.
Where's the hate for the Rams coming from? Like the way they finished
the greatest defensive player of this generation just retired.
But think of we talked about this last year. The Rams had Aaron Donald, yes. But the rest of their defense was on vet minimum deals or rookie deals. Like, all those dudes are taking the next step up. They had Kobe Turner, who could have been easily defensive rookie of the year last year as a defensive lineman. Like, you still have Puka Nacua. You still have Cooper Kupp. Like, you went out and got some stud offensive linemen to protect Matthew Stafford. Like, I think that's low for the Rams. I think the Rams are still, I mean, McVay being what he is, yes, you lost Aaron Donald, and that's going to hurt. There's no doubt about it. But I still think that's a pretty low number for the way the Rams finished the season last year.
My instinct says you're right, that there's enough great coaching. They've got weapons. Matthew Stafford seems to be feeling good and healthy. And another couple other teams, too. The Browns always feel a little rickety just because of their history. But that's another team that has just sort of, with four different quarterbacks, they won 11 games last year.
You don't know if Deshaun Watson's the answer or the problem. That's
why they're putting him in the middle of the pack.
That's why they're right in the middle of the pack, because they're like, it can go either way with that guy, right? Could he have elevated that team to winning the playoff games last year with the way they were playing, or is he going to be the reason they lose games? Nobody knows. He hasn't played a full football season in, 3 years now?
Which is also scary to think. Like, that's a lot. 3 years you haven't played in a full season? Like, it's a lot. And they added a game? Like, dude, it's a lot.
So much money.
I know. Yeah.
There's so many 8.5s that are interesting. The other one that stands out to me is the last time Jim Harbaugh took over just kind of a weird situation, right? It was Booney's 49ers.
Yeah, baby.
So that was a 6-win team in 2010 that nobody was looking at really as a contender. And you guys more than doubled your win total in 2011 to 13 wins in Jim Harbaugh's first year. So to put the I know the Chargers are in transition.
That's a tough division, dude. You have to remember who they're
not even that. It's not even that. They don't have any weapons.
That's another thing. They don't have anything. They got rid of their receivers. They got rid of their running back. They're like, hey, we're going to restart this whole thing. Like, I think putting them at 8.5 is a fair assumption. Do I think they do well? Yeah, I think they do really well. I think they'll probably come in second, maybe third in their division.
I don't think they get to 8.
Oh, I do.
Dude, who's he throwing the football to?
I think they're going to take care of that early.
Malik Neighbors, or I mean, there's guys they
that's
can.
One. Tell me what the draft have one easily. Great receiver that can make this thing go, one singular in the NFL.
Oh, no, I know what you're saying. I'm
Quentin
just
Johnson's
saying.
He can only play on the left side, right? He came from TC, which is still a mind blowing thing that they drafted a receiver in the first round that only knew how to play on one side of the football, but like especially some of the other receivers
you hear at work, guys,
him.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, I worry about the Chargers being able to score. And we talk about that division, like you said, Booney, against Mahomes and against the Raiders and against like the AFC that is a scoring like division. I just worry about their ability to keep up and score.
Steelers at 8, kind of just perpetually where they've been
just throw them in.
That's
the
same
pack.
Thing. What's Russ going to do? Are we up or down? We're not sure.
Like, just throw them in there.
There's three teams at 7.5, the Seahawks, the Saints, the Commanders. I might get squirrely and put the Commanders over 7.5 this year.
They don't have anyone to rush the passer.
Weak schedule. If they can get a dynamic, fun young quarterback.
You're going to need a lot. You're going to need a lot to get up there, bud. You're playing in a tough division. You play Philly, you play Dallas, you're playing
the
Giants.
But it feels like that division, to me, it feels like Dallas and Philly. Like, Dallas isn't better now than they were 3 months ago. They've lost key players. They've added nothing.
No, but they're better than Washington.
I agree, but I feel like two teams are
coming. They're better than Washington today, so it's like.
But two teams are coming down the ladder, and there might be a win or two there that you could get in division. 6.5. We got the Vikings, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Giants at 6.5.
It's fair for all of them.
Yeah, I agree with all that.
Daniel Jones, you don't know if Daniel Jones is he's going to come back healthy or not. Very similar situation. His offensive line, they did a nice job in free agency of getting some pieces in there to keep him protected. But you lose Saquon.
Huge loss.
Saquon goes, Darren Waller retires. Right? Like, so you're down two weapons already in a room that their best receiver was a third round pick from Tennessee and Jalen Hyatt last year. Like, so your weapons on offense, again, you're down. You got to score in this league. You're going to rely on rookies to help you come score. It's a tough thing to do. It's a tough way to win in this league.
Yep.
The Vikings number is 100% predicated on, can Sam Darnold get you some wins or whoever you draft, wherever you wind up drafting, right? Because if you just said, okay, if Jefferson comes back, Addison, Hockenson might not be ready for week one with the knee surgery.
Highly doubtful he'll be back.
Ty Chandler, Aaron Jones.
You got some structure around you.
Listen,
someone has to drive the car. And
can we please stop saying Sam Darnold? It's not going to be Sam Darnold. Are we all in agreement on that?
He's going to start the year.
I'll put
a stake in a beer bet. Stake in a beer right here, right now. That he is the week one starter.
Let's go. I'm in it.
Booney, or Mac, you with me?
That's a false bell.
Yeah, that's a false bell, by the way.
It's a new bell.
Oh, that's
it's
a palms up, too. I saw your palms slip. That's definitely palms. I 100% saw your palms slip.
That's fair.
But, Mackie, who are you siding with here? You have to pick a side.
I'm siding with Jay. I think Sam. Okay. By the way, they really like Sam Darnold, just like Kyle Shanahan. There's an intrigue.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's athletic. Totally. He's got a big arm. He was ruined by two bad franchises.
You don't pay a guy $10 million not to at least come in and start week one.
Yeah, no, you
regardless of who you pick. Regardless of who you pick. You are going to say you're going to start week one, and you're going to drive it, and if the wheels fall off, we put the kid in. That's what $10 million means.
There's also a savior complex with some of these coaches where it's like, I can fix that former top five overall pick. I'm the one that can, and I think Kevin O'Connell has some of that to him. Kyle Shanahan for sure does.
I'm going to pause you guys right there. I don't think that there's any of that anymore. I don't think they give a shit. I think if you're a bust, they're like, good, now you're a backup. We'll just draft a guy next year. There is no more development. Jay, you and I talk about this.
Well, they paid him $10 million.
Who cares what they fucking paid him? Andy Dalton made $10 million backing up in Chicago. The starters are making 50. So when you say 10.
Andy Dalton started the season.
Yeah, but he was still a backup, wasn't he?
Because he started the season.
All the bridge quarterbacks that we talk about are week one starters.
Nope.
All of them. Because you roll them out there like, yeah, this is what we paid. And then as soon as things go off and the crowd starts chanting like the old gladiator days, like, kill him, right? Like, throw the kid in, right?
kill him.
Right? That's what happens.
Kill him.
Dude, the fans were like this. With quarterbacks, the fans sit in the stands like the old gladiator days like this. And as soon as things go in, put him in, put the kid in, right?
That's I still see the kid starting.
All right. Well, I'll take my stake in a beer. It doesn't.
Okay, 5.5. We have two teams at 5.5, Broncos and Titans. Feels a little disrespectful to the Titans after they added a lot of interesting
pieces. Head coaching change. It's going to be interesting. Vrabel's gone. Culture's different. Like, there's a lot of question marks there.
Derrick Henry. Didn't he just sign somewhere?
He's now an analyst with someone. Yeah, he didn't get a coaching gig. Hold on, I'm going to look this up.
By the way, the Titans added L'Jarius Sneed, Calvin Ridley, Lloyd Cushenberry, a new starting center, Tony Pollard. They lost Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel. Will Levis showed some flashes.
He's a coaching and personnel consultant for the Cleveland Browns.
That's right, the Browns. Good for him.
And then the 4.5 group of Patriots and Panthers.
Oh.
Wah, wah.
Poor Patriots.
The Panthers, they got their quarterback and nothing else. The coach that drafted him is gone. The GM
paid a guard $100 million.
Robert Hunt.
$100 million.
Miami to Carolina, baby. Is that the only thing they did?
Mike Hunt. And they got rid of Brian Burns. Different player.
Yeah. They got rid of Brian Burns. What else did they do?
I don't know if they did a whole lot more in free agency.
Them in Dallas. Well,
they don't have any money, and they don't have any picks.
It's crazy.
Tough place to be in the NFL.
Mm. All right, so those are your over-under win totals. Do you guys want to do, what do we got here? We're an hour into this podcast. We got, there are some NFL rule changes, too, that we could touch on that are happening here. And then we'll get to some dumb football questions.
I'm curious where Booney stands on the hip drop, because I think we may differ on this opinion. But let's go into the hip drop tackle here, Mac.
Yeah, so what's going to happen is the NFL is now going to start punishing hip drop tackle offenders for sure with fines on Monday. Yep. But it also right now it's kind of up in the air as to whether you could throw a 15-yard penalty for it. It is punishable on the field, but it sounds like the league is leaning toward let's be a little less flag happy with it because it's such a subjective bang-bang thing, and let's review it and fine guys on Monday. But there's a lot of defensive players that are not happy about this. It's just another tool out of their tool belt for trying to stop these offenses.
To be fair, they hear this and they think they're going to get fined. Like, that's the first thing guys think. Like, they're like, I'm going to make a tackle and then I'm going to get fined. Like, everything is going to get fined now. Like, it's just that's how they see it. But here's my biggest issue. You're asking for the ref to watch too much. You're like, hey, there has to be 3 points of contact. Dude, have you ever watched a game on the field? You go tell me what 3 points of contact you see. That's why this is, to me, I think everyone made a bigger issue out of it than it really is. They're just saying, hey, listen, we don't want the defender to come up from behind, jump in the air, and land on your legs. I understand what they're trying to say. At the same time, that's hard to do. Like, defensive players, you're just going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with this league. And that was one of the things that I learned in the NFL. You might not like the rules, but if you don't want to make millions, don't. Leave. These are the rules. They're set by the owners. The guys who own this fucking league came down and said, don't do this again or we're not going to pay you. Right? You just have to deal within your constraints. And I don't agree with a lot of the rules either. Like a lot of the chopping and the cutting, I was kind of like, man, that sucks. That was big leverage for us. Like, we used to be able to cut guys on the back end. It would open up huge lanes. The minute they got rid of that, we were like, shit. But we weren't just sitting out there, like, going to Twitter, going, oh, it's stupid. We're just like, all right, well, you know, our coaches were like, this is stupid. Yeah. We're going to have to deal with it. That's one of the things that kind of drives me nuts about this league is everyone's quick to bitch all the time. God, shut up. I don't fucking care. They don't care. You don't care. God. My God. But at the same time, I get it. We're trying to keep people healthy. And hey, guys, if you're taking all the top receivers out of the NFL, guess what? It's not going to look very good.
And quarterbacks, too.
Like, I get the whole, like, roughing the passer thing. Like, the minute it happened, I was pissed, yeah. But then you see a team lose their quarterback for a while, and you're like, yep, I'd be pissed, too, if I was paying that guy $50 million and some guy hit him late and he got knocked out for the season. I'd be real pissed.
To that point, scoring is down compared to, like, 5 years ago. Yeah. Like 4 points or something.
Yeah. When I first heard it too, I was kind of was like, man, that sucks. But then I just in my brain categorically just put it as the same thing. It's the same thing as a horse collar tackle.
Right.
Like it's in my brain, it's the exact same thing as a horse collar tackle because as long as the end of the day the rule change is made for player safety, I'm probably gonna get on board with it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm gonna get on board with it because when you lose a guy like Mark Andrews for the entire season, essentially, like that sucks, right? That sucks. And I'm not, and I think people made Logan Wilson to be way more of a villain than it needed to be when it happened. Yeah. But at the end of the day, what drives the NFL? Fantasy football. Anymore, money, fantasy football, scoring. So the league is going to protect that asset. And if this is in that realm, I'm here for it. I mean, you think about a guy like Delanie Walker. Ended his career,
yeah.
Right, a hip drop tackle ended his career, right. And so, as long as it's geared towards player safety, I'm totally okay with it. I think it's going to be a learning period. It's going to be an adjustment period. But I do think eventually, at the end of the day, it's going to be looked at as a horse collar type tackle. It's going to have to be a clear and obvious hip drop tackle, right? I think that's going to have to come back to it as well. Is if it's a bang bang, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, not a flag. No. Right, let the league deal with it on the back end. But if it's a clear and obvious, like you see the plays they put up at the league office where it's like, yeah, that's about
that was
as
bad.
Black and white. Like as black as white, yeah, that should be probably a 15-yard penalty, personal foul, hip drop. I want to see what the refs make for a hand signal for it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because there's like, I want to know, yeah. It's like hip drop tackle number 55, right? I want to see the hand gestures that the refs will make for the hip drop tackle.
Hey, it'll probably just be a personal
the whole
foul.
Hockey League family is going to be at family gatherings, just practicing. It's going to be hilarious.
Like the first one that's going to have to call it too. The first one that's going to have to.
It's called
it.
Sean.
I want to see it.
Sean, be calm. Be calm if you're the first. Yeah. No, it'll be a personal foul.
I think from like a defensive perspective, what if you put yourself in the shoes of a cornerback, for instance, so Mark Andrews is going to be 50 pounds heavier than most cornerbacks, and he catches a pass up the seam or in the flat somewhere. Okay, if he has moved past, like if he's in front of me, okay, I can maybe use some sort of normal technique, right? But if I'm trailing him, how am I supposed to take someone down that's 50, 60 pounds heavier
Swipe
than
his
I
legs.
Am?
Swipe his legs with your hands.
Just sweep the leg.
Yeah. They're basically asking for a very realistic thing.
Mercy.
Like, they made us stop chopping each other because our ankles and knees were so bad. Like, everybody was blowing out a knee or an ankle, and they were like, okay, listen. You guys don't understand that if we don't have a league, nobody's making money. So we're going to have to take this away from you because you guys have gotten so villainous with each other. Like, dude, there were times where you would pull and a linebacker would cut you in the hole. And you were like, are you serious?
Oh, God, that was the worst.
You're like, are you serious with this shit right now? Or like Clay Matthews. You don't know how Clay made his money? When he would come and you would hit him on stutter, he would cut you. And you were like, are you serious right now? So they were like, all right. We got to get rid of all this. So they got rid of it. It's the same thing, and I see it just as Jay does. And I'm sure you thought I was going to be upset, but it's the same thing. It's a horse collar. Like, in my mind, the minute somebody gets tackled like that, you're like, that just feels dirty, doesn't it? Like, pull him down a different way, hit him from the side, do something. Just don't fall on his legs. Like, it's
too much. Clay Matthews, by the way, was the poster boy for the NFL. Has done a few of these where, all right, this is a new thing. And remember, it was like 8 or 10 years ago, and they said, okay, when you sack a quarterback, so we know you can't go high, you can't go low, those are established. But now you also can't put all of your body weight on a quarterback when you're tackling him.
Cost him the
and
game.
And poor Clay Matthews, man, had about 3 or 4 that season, just perfect form tackle sacks right around a quarterback's waist and kind of drove him into the ground. 15-yard penalty, too much body weight on whoever.
That one against the Vikings cost him the game. Remember that? It was like the fourth quarter. I remember that to this day, and that's the one of the things where I was like, that's questionable.
That's brutal.
Like, I remember he hit Kirk so clean, and they threw that flag, and he was like, it's time to retire. He's like, that's my time, guys. I'm out of here. Dude, Clay was a psycho, man. To be able to play defensive end and pick your hand up and go play linebacker and drop into coverage and, like, be one of the most ferocious rushers off the edge, like, y'all don't even know what that dude was about. Like, his family was ingrained in this league.
Yeah.
Still that is. Shit was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, his cousin or whoever it is still one of the best tackles in the league for a
long
Atlanta.
Time. Yeah. And his uncle played 40 years together.
Jake Matthews, his cousin.
Okay. Yeah. Bruce Matthews. Like, dude, there's some serious. And so when that dude played, it was for real. But, like, you think about how this league, and we see it. And it is player safety. They're constantly looking at this stuff like, guys, we're killing each other out here. Like, we have to somehow taper this down. Like, we need you for 18 weeks, not two. It's hard.
They also, a couple other things, and we'll get to dumb football questions, but teams are now going to get a third challenge if you just get one successful in your two.
I don't like that.
Why? What's wrong with
that? I think you should have to get both of them right. I agree with that. That was cool. Like, you have to earn it.
Which
you gotta
pretty
be
much
like,
never happens, by the way.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's
which was like, it was like, man, they got another challenge? Damn, they're smart upstairs. That's when you know the upstairs are watching for real. They're like, hey, it's an incomplete. Review that.
So Booney's not happy with the extra challenge.
I'm all right with it.
I'm good with it. And then the other one, that I don't know if it's official yet, but there's been some buzz this week that finally the NFL is going to allow the press box. If there's always like an eye in the sky official in the press box that has access through an earpiece to the on-field refs, that official is going to be able to overrule calls for roughing the passer, or like if it's something objectively missed where we throw a flag for the quarterback getting hit in the head, but then the guy upstairs watches the replay and is like, actually, he didn't get hit in the head. They can now buzz down and overturn game-changing 15-yard penalties, which I thought, if you're going to throw a 15-yard flag for something that's as tenuous as roughing the passer, someone should be able to look at a replay and be like, oh, actually, that looked bad, but really it wasn't. It wasn't contact to the helmet or whatever.
I'm
so
cool
they're
going to
address that.
I completely agree. Like, we live in an era where everything's filmed. There's an eye on everything.
Yeah.
Like, allow Big Brother the eye in the sky to make sure that those type of calls don't completely, like, affect the outcome of the game.
Like, yeah, why do idiots like us, we're like, you know, half buzzed watching the game on a 70-inch flat screen TV in 4K definition, but we don't give access to the NBC at slow-mo replay to the ref
in
real time.
What'd you see in real time, stupid? What'd you see? What'd you see?
But it's also like Booney said, like, if you've ever been like even being in a stadium,
it's hard.
Like, it's, you realize how fast the guys are moving compared to on TV. Like, being seen live, being down on the field, you don't understand, like, unless you're right there, how fast things are happening in front of you. And to ask a ref to be looking at 22 guys and see what's going on, like, it's just not fair to them. Like Boone said, you can't ask them to do too much. This alleviates a lot of that. I love this rule. We've been talking about this for years. This needed to happen.
There was a game, a baseball game, like 12 or 15 years ago, and there's a Detroit Tigers pitcher named Armando Galarraga, and he was never like a top Cy Young Award pitcher, but this dude had a perfect game going with two outs in the ninth inning, and there was a ground ball and a bang-bang play at first base, kind of bang-bang.
Called him safe, right?
The umpire, and it was like boom, boom. And watching real time, it looked like he was out, but the umpire just kind of got nervous or something and called him safe with two outs in the ninth inning to break up a perfect game. And of course, within 10 seconds, they show the high def. This is probably early high definition TVs. This dude gets the umpire, Jim Joyce was his name, handlebar mustache. That dude got death threats for weeks and weeks because he's the only guy in the world that doesn't get access to that replay, right? Like these refs, we think officiating is getting worse in sports. No, the TVs are getting better. Yeah. The high definition is getting better.
Hey, they're
probably better now than they were 50 years ago. But
as a fan, you have unprecedented access to everything all the time, all at once. Like, it's not fair to those dudes. Those dudes don't know. They're operating real time. They have to keep the flow of the game going. They got to make sure there's not a scuffle after the play, get the ball set, get the chain set. Like,
there's a lot.
In a perfect world for me, the on-field refs would never call a penalty. The on-field refs would be there strictly to keep the flow of the game and the order of the animals in line, right? Everything else is done from upstairs.
I'm not against that.
You have an entire officiating crew upstairs that can see everything in real time, and they get a 15-second window after a play to have either a foul called, or they can call it in real time because the camera is right there on it and they can double check it real quick. And other than that, the refs on the field, their only job is to announce to the world and keep the pace of play going. Perfect world, that's what the NFL needs to get to, because these calls are becoming way too subjective.
But it is because it is so fast, and you're watching guys that are backpedaling, watching a receiver run while a defensive back is chasing him, and they're literally backpedaling on the sideline watching this in real time. Like, the way these refs move, it is really fun to watch at times. Like, if you ever, like, watch them, they're constantly counting, their thumbs up in each other, their side thumbing each other. Like, there's a million things they have to tell each other. And then, oh, hey, there's the play. Like, there's a lot going on. So having somebody upstairs that could be like, hey, listen, you guys don't have to worry about any of this. Just keep the flow going, keep the fights down, and spot the fucking ball, and let's go. Like, that's how this game goes super, super fast.
Yeah. Bring back the review clock, too. Right? Bring that, dude, so many times last year, these reviews are taking way too long.
Oh, yeah, that was
right? Like, dude, you get a minute and a half, and if you don't have a decision by then, call Stan.
Seven, six, five. Oh, God.
Yeah. Make a decision.
Complete.